Sizing is not a good way to determine your worth. And sizing changes depending on the jeans, depending on the pants, depending on the clothes that you're wearing. Sizing is never going to be the same all across the board. And that's something that's so important to realize when you're learning to style your body, is you can't get caught up in the size of the clothes. If it changes, that's okay, right? Because the clothes are supposed to fit you. You're not meant to fit the clothes. That's their job. So you need to go find that bigger pair. If they're going to fit you and make you feel confident, screw the size. Who cares what the number says? You look sexy and you look good and you feel good. And that's all that matters.
Welcome to Weighing In on Happy, the only podcast that dives deep into discussions around weight, eating disorders, mental health, body image, intuitive eating, wellness, confidence, and so much more. Each week, you'll be coached through different stories and strategies on how to start living your best life today. So, if you're ready, here's your host, Victoria Evans.
Today's podcast is brought to you by my new masterclass called Crush Your Cookie Monster Cravings. So this masterclass is going to give you just a little taste of what's to come in my upcoming program, Craving Food Freedom. So in this masterclass, what are you going to learn? You're going to learn three of my best coaching tools to help you crush your cravings, my secret key to breaking free from any of your bad habits, and the four essential questions to ask yourself to overcome your cravings. And so to sign up for this free masterclass, what you're going to want to do is go ahead to my show notes below and just click the link there where it says masterclass, or you can just head on over to my website, and it's www.victoriaevansofficial.com/cookie-monster-signup, all one word, no dashes, no dots. And then you'll be prompted to just enter your name and your email, and you'll be sent more details about the masterclass as well as the link to watch it. I'm so excited for this, you guys. I've put a lot of work into it. I'm giving away my best tools, my best tips, my best information. So go and sign up because you do not want to miss it. Hey, you guys, I am so excited for the Weighing In on Happy podcast today because I have Chloe Exandria. Chloe is a body positive social media influencer who has over 340,000 followers on TikTok. She's known as your midsize hype girl. Chloe shares online her self-love journey and teaches her followers to love the skin they're in and to have fun along the way. Hey, you guys, welcome back to Weighing In on Happy. I'm Victoria Evans, a science-based intuitive eating coach, and I'm joined today by Chloe Exandria. So welcome to the podcast, Chloe.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and finally meet you. Even though it's virtually, I'm very excited to finally authentically meet you.
Me as well, because I've been following you on social media and I think you're just amazing. The things you post. Yeah, like your message, everything. And so I knew that if I had any kind of opportunity to get a chance to talk to you and also record it so other people in my network and your network can listen to it as well and feel inspired by you, I knew I had to take that chance. So thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
So before we dive too deep into things, for those who may not know you and how awesome you are, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself as well as what it means to be a mid-size hype girl? That's what you describe yourself as on social media. Yeah.
Yes. So I am a 23-year-old body positive influencer, and I wasn't always body positive. I actually used to have an eating disorder pretty severely. And over the past 2 years, I really changed my views on food and healed my relationship with it. And in the process, I put back on the weight that I had taken off when I was starving myself. And I just want to share like what I've done to help myself, you know, become more body positive and love myself and love my body. And I do consider myself a mid-size hype girl because I always hype the girls up, especially the ones who want to love their bodies and feel confident. So that's why I refer to myself as a mid-size hype girl.
I love it. And for those who might not know, what is a mid-size? Like, what does that mean, mid-size?
So I consider myself mid-size. It's kind of like a made-up term because I never felt like I belonged in the smaller body category, like the petite category or the plus size category. I always kind of even shopped in between. So I would go from petite sizes like small, medium, large, extra large to plus size. but I never really felt like I fit in either of those groups. So I kind of define midsize as the girls who are anywhere from a size 8 to a size 16, kind of. That's where I kind of put myself in midsize.
And I feel that so aggressively because my entire life, I never felt like I fit into that mold. Like, yes. I was always so frustrated that it'd be like extra large. Okay, this doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit my butt. It doesn't fit my anything. And then it'd be jumping up to the plus size stores, like 16. I'm like, well, this doesn't fit me either.
Right.
And I don't also see myself represented in either one. Like, there is this movement of accepting your curves and like being in a larger body and like a real big, more recently, movement towards that. Yeah. And me being like, yeah, like, I love this. I'm all about it. But I don't see myself represented. Yes. And then seeing the, you know, the more traditional, smaller petite woman, I'm like, you know, go you, empowerment in your body, right? Yes. But also I'm not you. And so yes. I'm so, so glad that there's now this all this representation, all this talk about like, what is midsize? And like, let's talk about that and normalize yes. that, because I don't know what the statistics are today, but I believe the majority of people are in that mid-size range, right? Yes. And yet no one talks about it.
I know. So many of us are like we don't know where we fit in, and we don't see ourselves, like our body types represented as much. And, you know, there's like a ton of mid-size different body types, right? Like, you can be a curvier mid-size girl, or you can be like more of like, I don't know how to describe the different body types. Yeah. There are tons. And yeah, you're so used to seeing like curve models, but never like, I'm not super curvy. I'm more shaped rectangular, honestly. And I need to see more of that because I don't see any of it, which is what I also consider mid-size. Like, my body kind of, you know, is very rectangular. I kind of have small curves, but not like I'm seeing on these curve models and these petite models. So I didn't know where I fit in. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to call myself mid-size. And it worked. It worked. Oh, and it stuck.
It's so, so good. And yeah, I so hear you. I'm someone who has like super flat chest, like any day my boobs yes. are going to come in. It's going to happen. It's any moment now. And like, I have a more of like a larger rib cage. So like, I find my, especially when I'm wearing a sports bra, like right now, it's like, it's pretty much just straight down. And then, so when it's like, looks like I'm more like wide shoulders, like broad shoulders, which are amazing and strong, but for most of my life, I hated them. And so I've always been like, how does one dress this shape? And like, what is happening? And so all of this to say, I'm very grateful for people like you who are talking more about midsize and showing what different types of body types can look like and how you can dress them fashionably. So important.
Yes, you can literally wear whatever the heck you want. You don't have to be a petite size or a curvy plus size. You can be mid-size and still wear whatever the hell you want.
Yes.
Yeah, learning how to dress my body has changed the way I view it. Like, that's something I focus on a lot, is like fashion on my page. Like, how to dress your mid-size body and feel confident. And that's seriously changed the game for me of how confident I feel in my body.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a game changer when you feel good in your skin. Like, and so someone who's listening to this, like, yeah, I love this idea. What tips could you give them around maybe dressing their body, especially after maybe, you know, after the pandemic, their bodies maybe changed as well?
So I guess the first thing I would say is I used to always be afraid to try certain clothes on. So I used to feel really uncomfortable in dresses that weren't maxi dresses because I just didn't think I had the legs for it. But I was seeing, you know, the distorted pictures, the edited bodies I was seeing on my timeline. So I really started purposefully forcing myself to try on clothes I normally would not wear. And once I started trying them on, I started looking in the mirror, like in the try on rooms, and just thinking, like, I look really good. And this is what I've always wanted to wear. And, you know, I started just realizing that the things on my body were normal things that other people, like the cellulite I have cellulite all over my legs, the front, the back, down, like it's everywhere. And I've just learned to live with it and love it because everyone, 80% of women literally have cellulite. So I don't need to dress to hide it because it's a normal thing. So I started trying on the shorter dresses, and what I found really complements my body is the empire waist. So it kind of is, you know, flowy at the top, cinches you in at the waist, and like it has like a belt or something, and then the bottom's flowy, and I feel like that gives me so much confidence. Yes. And it really like brings out the shape of my body, even though it's not like on the curvier, it's on the curvier side, but it's not curvy that you see in the media. It's not like Ashley Graham curvy. It's just minimal, but it really makes me feel confident and sexy in my body. So that is a huge tip I have, honestly, to dress your body.
That's such a good one, because we get so caught up in thinking, oh, we shouldn't wear this because of where you have this type of body or this or whatever. And then, yeah, we never actually go to try it on. We never wonder like what it's going to look like. And it could look amazing, could look not so amazing, but right. You'll never know unless you try. And right. As well, I think not making it mean something about yourself yes. if it doesn't fit or if it doesn't yes. look a certain way. Because I used to be so afraid, like, oh my God, what if I go to pull on this pair of jeans and it doesn't fit over my butt? Yeah. And I would make it mean this whole thing about my worth and who I am. And I was just like handing the jeans back to the lady in the dressing room and just like literally like fighting back tears and being like, how'd it go? I'm like, just nothing for me, like handing it back. It doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't fit. It doesn't mean anything about you if you don't think it looks good. Like that is clothes need to fit you, and you need to feel good in your clothes, not like you have to fit your clothes.
Yes, I agree. And like, I used to feel so bad if I would go into American Eagle and try on a size 12 jeans and they fit, and then I would go into another store and a size 12 wouldn't fit. I've learned not to feel bad about my size changing, because sizing is shit. Sizing is not a good way to determine your worth. And sizing changes depending on the jeans, depending on the pants, depending on the clothes that you're wearing. Sizing is never going to be the same all across the board. And that's something that's so important to realize when you're learning to style your body, is you can't get caught up in the size of the clothes. If it changes, that's okay, right? Because the clothes are supposed to fit you. You're not meant to fit the clothes. That's their job. So you need to go find that bigger pair. If they're going to fit you and make you feel confident, screw the size. Who cares what the number says? You look sexy and you look good and you feel good. And that's all that matters.
Yes. So good. It's so true. And I just want to like scream that to women in a loving way. Yes. You know, other girls like, you look a fucking amazing. No, well, yes. Anyway, but you know, because, yeah, we get so caught up in it, and it's exactly what you said. Like, you completely nailed it on the head. And so I do want to rewind. I want to go back a little bit. So to where I first came across you on TikTok. Mm-hmm. You have a big audience on TikTok, and I'm here for it.
Thank you.
It's so awesome. The stuff you're sharing, so good, so good. And one of the videos, I think my first video that I saw of you that had like over like 20 million views, like it was crazy. It was all about kind of choosing to appreciate the body that supported you during a pandemic. Yeah. And it showed a picture of you like in January, like 2020, and then a more recent picture. Could you tell us a little bit about this incredible viral post?
Yeah, of course. So I posted a COVID transformation, like a quarantine transformation body. And I put on weight, and, you know, looking at me, you might just think, oh, she put on weight, right? She's being lazy. Here's some of the comments I was getting. She's lazy, eating too much, not moving her body. All of those weren't true. In January, the picture I showed in my TikTok originally, I was starving myself, eating one baked potato a day. That's all I let myself eat. Constantly, the weight was constantly coming off. Like, I was never happy. I never let myself eat or gain weight because I thought, you know, I wouldn't be pretty. That's all I was seeing on my feed. And then I really start, this was 2 Januaries ago, I believe, that I was like starving myself. And then I ended up getting COVID in July. And if you hear me get out of breath, sometimes I have damage in my lungs from it, which is why like I struggle sometimes to keep up. But I had COVID and I was in the hospital 3 times. I couldn't breathe. I was on oxygen. I was getting breathing treatments, and it lasted for an entire month. I was extremely sick. And at the time when I got sick, I was very skinny. So that's another reason I say size doesn't determine health, right? Because when I was sick, that was the unhealthiest I'd ever been. And I was so small. I was literally a size 6. So it meant nothing. And then I was put on a long taper steroid for 3 months because I had a heart defect afterwards. And my lungs were really inflamed and nothing was making the inflammation go down, not even time. So they put me on this long taper steroid that caused me to rapidly gain weight, and I gained 30 pounds. And I chose not to think of the weight as, you know, a death sentence. I wasn't like, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Like, that weight saved my life. And so did that medication. And if my body had to gain weight to become less sick, then that's what it needed to do in that situation to carry me and get me through that sickness. And people are so used to just judging a book by its cover, like just looking at it and saying, you know, oh, she gained weight because she was lazy. No matter what, no matter if you weren't working out, if you were eating more, you don't have to explain that to anyone. If you gain weight during this pandemic, or if you gain weight ever, that is completely okay and justified. Especially this past year. This past year was one of the worst times in human history. I mean, globally, we went through this pandemic. Like, no one knew how to handle it. Everyone's mental health was declining. Everyone has struggled in one way or another. And if you put on weight, that's perfectly okay. You don't need to describe or explain it to anyone. It's justified.
First, I'm so glad that you are at a hospital and that you're feeling better.
Yes, me too.
And I'm so glad that you're here to share that story with everyone, because it's so important. Like, everything you just touched on is so important. We are so quick to think that I've gained weight and that is a failure.
Yes.
When so often gaining weight means choosing life.
Yeah.
Right? And so many different ways, like whether that be actually like an illness or just in our, you know, everyday life, if you've been restricting and not eating and always counting calories and forcing yourself to go to the gym, whatever that looks like. It can feel scary, but it is often choosing life when we decide to let go of those things. And we have to force and restrict and punish ourselves for our body to look a certain way. It's not meant to look that way,
no.
Right?
And it's so nice just having food freedom, like eating when I'm hungry, you know, and eating what I want to eat when I'm hungry, right? If that's ice cream, I'm going to eat ice cream. I don't need to feel bad about it because that's what my body wants. If that's vegetables and meat, I want vegetables and meat, you know, and that's okay. Whatever I want, I'm allowed to eat and I deserve to eat because my body's telling me it's hungry.
Mm-hmm. It's such a simpler way to live.
It is.
There's definitely a learning curve going into it where there's like the unlearning of a lot of food rules and the guilt and all the societal things that tell us, you know, we should look like this or eat like that, whatever. Once we start to push through that and we've peeled back all those layers, oh my God, it's just like you have so much more time and energy and like just things you can do with your life, because it's a full-time job trying to, you know, having all this food drama and trying to worry about everything that's going into your body and how you look, like, it's just exhausting. And I don't know how, like, before, no wonder I was mean and grumpy and like, I was not a nice person. And I am the first to like fully admit that. Like, when I was years ago working corporate and my hair was falling out, lost my period. Like, I was an absolute mess. And like, you know, I was getting all the praise of, you look so healthy. You look so good. And like, I've never been unhealthier in my life. Like,
I know people don't care about, and that's what's funny is being a body positive influencer. I've learned that people will pretend they care in your comments, right? But when I was skinny, no one was saying, oh, you're so skinny, like you're unhealthy. I care about your health. No one was saying that because I looked good. Mm-hmm. I looked good in societal terms. Isn't that messed up?
It makes me so, so angry because we praise what is often disordered behaviors and we get angry at people for living in what actually is a healthy life, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, they have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but clearly they're projecting their own body image issues, their own eating issues onto other people under the guise of health. Oh, we're worried about your health.
Yeah.
You're fucking not.
Exactly.
Go and get some serious help. Contact
me. And my mental health, a part of that. And if you think your nasty ass comment is making my health better, think again, because mental health and physical health are so interconnected. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. So if you care about my health or you care about others' health, don't comment on it at all, especially when it's unsolicited.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, mental health and health, I think it's just one and the same. Like, I don't even think we should be distinguishing them anymore, because if your mental health is not good, but you like, I don't know, look good or like whatever, it's like, then you're not healthy. Like,
exactly.
Right. Exactly. It's the holistic picture. And so what do you do when people are making these comments like this? Like, how do you deal with that?
So at first I used to get really worked up and think, you know, like, how are people so mean? Because I could never go out and just comment something like that on someone else's post. And it's not just body positive influencers. It's everywhere. TikTok can really be toxic. And I've learned that in other people's comments, like, bullies thrive there. But I've honestly become so desensitized to it. And I know that that's how social media is. And I told myself, no one could ever say this to my face, right? Because I still have yet to hear it from a single person in person, you know? Mm-hmm. And if anyone was truly concerned, my friends would say, hey, Chloe, we're worried about you, right? But they don't. And, you know, I just think, like, they must be going through something, or and they must be hurting to want to push that hurt onto me and, right? And give that hurt to someone else. And I just, you know, sometimes I've DM'd people before and I was like, hey, like, I respect your comment. I understand that you're coming from a hurt place. Do you want to talk? And I've had people that tell me what's going on in their life and they're hurting. So that's something you can always do. If you receive hate comments, reach out and be like, hey, are you okay? Right? Be the bigger person, show that you actually care, and they'll open up to you and apologize. And they even delete their comment most of the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. People in pain cause pain, and hurt people hurt people. Like, that's what I always think about. And I think social media can be such a prime example of that. Yeah. And I think, what do you post the other day? You're like, I'm going to start replying to hate comments with, like, did you eat enough carbs today or something like that? Like, I love
it. Yes. Someone the other day commented, you're so conceited. You're way too conceited. And I respond with humor, and then they like laugh that they even wrote that. I wrote up like a fake apology in my notes app, kind of being like, I'm sorry, I will work on hating myself. And, you know, it's just like, you have to respond with like humor or something. If you don't let the words hold so much power, they won't hold so much power and people will stop. I have not gotten as many hate comments as I used to, because it's humorous to me. You know, someone the other day called me a Kalimbanimbus cloud. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's like a wide straight cloud.
Yeah.
And I responded, I was like, this is kind of funny. Like, it's, you know, if it's not creative, don't say it to me. Like, that was pretty creative.
The fact they took the time to even write out the word cumulonimbus kills
me. A huge word.
I'm so mad. I'm just going to write these like 30 letters in a row.
I was like, okay.
Nothing better to do. Might as well write the word cumulonimbus. That's hilarious. I mean, it's not, but it is.
Right. I responded with humor and they said, you're funny. You have a sense of humor, and followed me. I was like, so you're going to leave me a hate comment and then I'll laugh about it, and then you'll want to be my friend. Like, it's just twisted.
It's a wild place. But I think, yeah, the way that you're handling it is like just it's so commendable, and it's so inspirational. So thank you for doing that. And like, I think it's so cool as well that if you do, you know, take the chance to like message them back, how it is, like, it's always coming from a place of hurt. And whether that be on social media or friends or family or people like in your coworkers, when they're making those kind of like negative derogatory comments, they're just projecting. Like, they have unhealed parts of themselves. It's not about you, always about them.
You know, but when I was really going through it, I worked at a company called Chic Influencer, and it was two Beachbody coaches. They were they would ask me how they could use body positivity to promote their product.
Cringing.
And that made me so mad. And then when I would post body positive content, they would be so mean to me, like very passive aggressive, like, they were coming from a hurt place because they were so restrictive of everything they did. And like, it just makes you realize no one's ever going to treat you badly unless they're hurting themselves, right? Absolutely. And we all do it. We fight with our parents. We fight with our siblings when we're hurt, right? Mm-hmm. We do it too. So that's one huge thing that I've realized is, you know, and you need to get out of those toxic situations, whether it's a job that's putting you down, a friendship, a family member, ditch them and go do what's best for you, even if it's not what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you have to put yourself first,
yes.
Right? Like, they're not somehow more important than you, right? In these situations where you have to be like, oh, but they're my mom and they're going on this new diet, I have to support them. No, you don't.
Right.
Why is your mom more important than you and your mental health? Like, I respect that people respect their families and everything and their friends, but like, girl, stop being that people pleaser in those situations. Yes. And yes, have those boundaries set. Yes. And honor yourself, because you're not actually honoring and serving anyone by, yes, just leaning in and allowing those comments to take place. Like, you, exactly, have to take a stand.
And if you decide, you know, you want to be more body positive, and you need to detox from some of those relationships, don't be afraid to set boundaries. Like, don't be afraid to verbalize your boundaries, because not having boundaries really damaged my mental health for a while. That's like something that I've learned, that you really have to set boundaries in this world. And if you don't, it will affect your journey.
Mm. Do you have any examples of those boundaries? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So I used to hang out with a group of girls, super, very one body type, very, you know, insecure about themselves, would always look in the mirror and call themselves fat, but never wanted to better themselves, right? And when I would try, I would say like, oh my gosh, like, you're literally beautiful. Like, you know, you're so perfect. They didn't want to feel better about themselves. They didn't want to grow. And I had to learn that I can't thrive in relationships where people are not only bringing themselves down, but they're bringing me down in the process. So I learned to distance myself from those friends. And we'll still text sometimes. I'll be like, how are you? But it's not nearly as much. And since I got rid of those friends and like distanced myself, right? I love them from afar until they heal. I'm a firm believer that healed people heal people. Mm-hmm. And hurt people, right? So if you're surrounded by people who are hurting, you're going to be hurt in the process. If you surround yourself with people who are healing or are healed already, you will become healed as well, because you learn, right? And you fall into the same patterns as the people you're around. And when I was hanging out with the group of girls that would always talk down about themselves, I noticed myself starting talking down about myself, right? And just thinking, like, pointing out every little insecurity I had and really speaking it into existence. Once I distanced myself from those girls and started hanging out with people who were healed and on their self-love journey, it changed my life. It honestly changed my life.
I couldn't agree more with you. Like, I actually, it's interesting, because when I come back to Canada, which is where I am right now, I actually don't have that many close friends here anymore, because I had to completely shift my entire surroundings, like my entire environment, because what I had created for myself, especially when I was living in Montreal and I was working corporate there and I was into substances and like all of this, like I was a mess.
Yeah.
And I was hurting people. I was hurt. Yeah. And I knew I could not heal in the same place that I was getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, that, I mean, more drastic than maybe a lot of people, but that meant actually like I had to move home for a little bit. And then I eventually moved to Bali. And like, so much of my healing happened like on the other side of the world.
I love that. I want you to tell me about that sometime too. Like,
yeah,
about what that was all like in Bali.
Oh, I would happily do. It was such an incredible chapter of my life. And like, it was so difficult. Like, I will never be like, oh, it was all sunshine and rainbows. Like, I had really tough moments there, like mental health, really deep down dark moments, because I was literally on my own and I was trying to create a new community across the world in a different time zone.
Right.
But also by doing so, by forcing me to just almost
feel like it was such an open canvas, even though it was really daunting. Yeah. It allowed me to really create myself in a way that felt so true and so authentic that I never could have possibly done if I'd have still been in the same environment that I was.
Right.
Because I still had, I think, a lot of ego to work through around like who I was and what I looked like and the habits that I did, whether it be like, you know, when I was in corporate, like going to the gym every day at lunch or always eating only exactly this, you know, boiled chicken and like carrots or whatever. Like that had become so much of my identity that to shift it, I feel like I had to like transplant my entire self to do so. So it was a very interesting journey. Thank you. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I'm really grateful that I got to do that. And yeah, but I also wanted to ask if you could talk to yourself, like, let's even say like 5 years ago, when you're still deep into the restriction and like eating like one potato a day, which is just still blows my mind. Like just the one.
Of course I chose a carb though. I love carbs.
That's what I was like thinking in my brain, because when I was like really restrictive, it was like just like protein and like, and I was just like, I love it as a potato. I just think that's great.
Yeah, I loved carbs. So I knew it had to be something.
Carbs. I could never let them out of my life. Such a dark time for me. Same. I was so grumpy, no potatoes. But if you give your younger self a piece of advice to like 5 years ago, what would that be? Could be about body, career, life, anything.
You don't have to have it all figured out right now. Mm-hmm. You figure it out as you go, right? Like I didn't even know where to start my self-love journey. I just sort of fell into it and kept going with it. I didn't have a set plan, right? There is no set plan you can really make for yourself to start choose to love yourself, right? It's just a decision you make. You're like, I want to stop hating myself. And then you figure out ways that work for you, right? Which is why it's so hard sometimes. People are like, how do I love myself? It's hard. It's personalized, right? Like it's things you do for yourself. I can't tell you to love yourself. You have to figure out what works for you and just let the flow roll. Go with the flow.
Get the flow roll. Yeah.
Hey, I was thinking about how to say it.
I always say the things until put all the reverse. I'm like, I'm just gonna own it and pretend that I meant it, and then no one's gonna question it.
That's me too. That is me all the time.
That's such a great piece of advice. And I think like building on that, it doesn't have to be the big things, right? It's like those little momentary decisions of like, you know, loving yourself can look like, I'm actually really tired today, so maybe I'm not gonna go and like work out. I'm maybe gonna let myself rest. Yeah. Or maybe like I want to eat that whole box of donuts and I'm not even hungry, but like, so maybe I need to like check in with how I'm feeling emotionally right now. Like that is an act of love, right? Yeah. Like there's so many different things, but it doesn't have to be this like big, glorious, I don't know, like going on a self-love retreat or like writing a letter to yourself. I don't know. I'm trying to think of random things. Your inner child. Like it could literally just be like these little tiny, tiny moments of like honoring yourself and asking yourself what you need and like getting closer to that.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
And so before I ask you my last question, where can people find you?
So I can be found on Instagram and TikTok at Chloe, Chloe _ Xandria. And it's pronounced Chloe Xandria.
Perfect. Yeah. In the beginning, I was like, it's Xandra. It's like, no, Xandria. I'm like, okay.
You can call me whatever you want, girlfriend.
It's easier when it's just like written on Instagram or TikTok, so I never have to say it out loud. And then right. I get to the point where I'm like actually recording with them. I'm like, I've never actually heard their name out loud. And now I'm about to say in an intro and I have no idea what it is.
I have butchered people's names and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I have like just, you have no idea. Like I'll like spell it out. It'll be like, this is how you say it. And then I'll literally write it out phonetically to say it correctly. Yes. Cause I'm like totally mess it up. But I'll put that below in the show notes. Everyone can easily find you. And then my last question is, so the theme of my podcast is weighing and unhappy, where the point is your weight does not make you happy. So if you had to weigh in on one thing that makes you happy, subjective question, what would that be?
One thing that makes me happy is food.
Yes, that's the best answer ever.
Honestly, it really is. Like when I'm hungry and I get to fuel my body. I'm like excited. I'm like, heck yeah. Like I get to go eat what makes me feel good. So it does.
I love that. Do you have a favorite food right now? I go through food phases.
I do too. People are like, what's your favorite food? I'm like, that is a horrible question. Okay. So this is pretty specific, but right now I am freaking obsessed with lemon bars from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
They're so good. They're frozen. And I like them frozen. Like I like them straight out of the freezer. Yeah. But oh my gosh, they are amazing. But you know, some weeks it's pizza, some weeks it's ice cream, some weeks it's some weeks I love strawberries. Like I go hard on them.
I so hear you. Like it literally changes based on my mood, based on the season. Like what's your favorite food? I'm like, I hate when they ask you that for like, you know, like our banking question. It's like, what's your favorite food? I'm like, well, that's going to change 500 times before when you reset my password. So choose something else. Like,
exactly.
Not help me.
I know.
So good. Oh, I love lemon bars. I have a recipe that I make like all throughout the year and they're just like, the tartness and oh my God.
Oh,
like,
it's so good.
My mouth is salivating just thinking about a lemon bar because it's like the tartness on your tongue. I'm like, I need to swallow.
I have them in my freezer. So
I think I need to go make some lemon bars. I think I have lemons. I'm going to do it. All right. Well,
take a picture.
I'm going to take a picture, tag you.
Tag me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on today. Like I just such a great conversation. So appreciate
you.
Thank you
for having me.
Yeah. I'll have to make those lemon bars.
Yes, you have to. Tag me. I'll reshare.
Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this incredible episode with Chloe. Now, don't forget to sign up for the Crush Your Cookie Monster Cravings Masterclass. So again, you can just go to the show notes below and click the link there, or head to my website at www.victoriaevansofficial.com/cookie-monster-signup. All right, the next thing is that I would so love if you could please rate and review. This helps me to get even more incredible podcast guests just like Chloe. It just takes 2 seconds on Apple to leave a review. And if you're not sure what to say, even just write down your favorite kind of food. I'd love to know. The next thing is that if you haven't already, I'd love for you to join me over on Instagram, and that is at Victoria Evans Official. Let me know if you listened to this episode by shooting me over a DM. And finally, if you haven't already joined my Facebook group, Intuitive Eating Support Group for Badass Women, definitely go ahead and do so. All right, all of that will be below for you in the show notes. And until next week, I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye-bye.